There was a group of soldiers that was in a battle, and they were there on the front lines, and stressed to the max. Of course, that doesn't do it any justice at all to say that these young soldiers there on the front line were stressed to the max, but they were there, and they knew that they were losing, and they knew that if something didn't change very soon, that their chances of making it home were growing slimmer and slimmer and slimmer as time went on. And they knew that they called it the gun. And they said, if we could just get the gun, in their minds, the gun was this huge weapon that they could bring up to the front lines and just unleash on the enemy that was just on the other side there. And so they thought, well, the only chance that we have of surviving is getting the gun. And so they called for the gun. And so they brought out the gun. And they set it there on the front lines. And the soldier that was called upon to operate the gun loaded it up and prepared it. And so before he went to fire it, you know, all the other soldiers, it was so loud and powerful that they kind of prepared themselves to be near the gun when it fired. And so this gun was so powerful that they thought to themselves as they were loading it, and actually were talking to one another as they were loading it, why didn't we think of this before? And so they have the gun there on the front lines, and they could see that the enemy there is kind of closing in, and they're still thinking in the back of their minds that if this doesn't work, our chances of getting out of here alive are just slim to none. But they're so encouraged that they have this incredible weapon, and they're about to unleash it on the enemy. And so everybody's got it loaded, and the ones who are not firing the gun kind of gets ready. And so he goes to fire the gun, and he hears nothing but a click. And he doesn't panic in front of his friends and in front of his fellow soldiers, but in his heart he begins to panic. And these other soldiers are there, ducked down, you know, kind of cover, waiting for the gun to go off, and they realize it's not going off, and so they look at the guy. The guy's looking at the gun, and then they both look up and look at the enemy. And they say, what happened? I said, I don't know. I pulled it. He said, I pulled the trigger, and it didn't go off. And he said, well, eject the shell. So he ejects the shell, and he tries to chamber another one. And so the same routine, they get ready to fire the gun, the big, powerful gun. The others crouch down and get ready, and he pulls the trigger and hears nothing but a click. And he says, they say, what's happening? He says, I don't know, but the gun has jammed. Now, I know that most of us in here have never seen warfare. I've never seen warfare on the battlefield. Most of us have never seen warfare. But hopefully you can just in your imagination begin to picture the panic and the problems and all of the things that would begin to rush over them when they realize that right in front of them is the weapon that can get them out of the situation, but it keeps jamming. And what I want to say to you tonight is that oftentimes we look out in the world and we say, we have a world, we have an enemy that's closing in on us, and we're asking, what are we going to do to fix it? How are we going to overcome this? What can we possibly bring out and put on the front line? And I would submit to you tonight that biblical, Christ-honoring, Jesus-worshiping families is what's going to turn the tide in our culture, in our country, on your street, and on your blocks. But here's the problem. The weapon keeps jamming. We keep facing difficulties that we don't know how to get over. We keep facing problems that we don't know how to navigate our way through. And so in all of God's infinite wisdom, he has said, I want the believing family to be on the front lines. And when things get tough, it's not the pastors of the church. It's not the preachers. It's not the worship leaders. It's the families on the front lines that live on these streets that when things go wrong and lost people are looking for advice and wondering what does it mean to follow Jesus, they're coming to your houses. That's what the answer is. It is that you are so profound of a lighthouse in your community that people flock to you before they flock to that cross out there in the front yard. I mean, that's what God wants to do with our families on the front line. But what happens when we go to fire them and they're jamming? And that's what Family Feuds has been all about these past 3 weeks and now this fourth week. It has been about looking in the Bible and acknowledging, look, there's some incredibly dysfunctional families in the Bible, no doubt. You know, the biggest problem that I had in preparing for this series was deciding which ones I'm going to cut. There's so many. There's so many, and it seems like in every single book of the Bible, there are dysfunctional families that's just like begging for us to study them and understand what they were doing wrong. But here's what I want to do tonight. I don't want to look at dysfunctional families. I want to help you answer the question that you probably have in your mind or in your heart. Yeah, but what about my family? What do I do when problems land in my house? What do I do to keep from our gun jamming on the front lines? What can I do in my family to be the type of family that Christ wants for us to be? Last week we looked in Acts chapter 6, and I told you last week that there's so much information there that there's no way that we're going to finish saying everything that we need to say. And so tonight we're going to revisit Acts chapter 6. So let me just read this to you. If you haven't turned there yet, that's okay. In a couple of minutes, the passage is going to pop up on the screen and you can follow along. Or if you have your phone and you haven't turned on your app yet, again, it's Acts chapter 6. And I'm going to be studying the verses 1 through 7. Here's what it says. It says, now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number. And remember we said that that's a blessing from God. This whole passage that's about problems starts out with a blessing from God. And so we talked about the fact that oftentimes the blessings of God creates real problems. It says, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples. And they said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, you pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and who will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And so there in verses 5 and 6 is a list. Verse 5 is a list of the people that they selected. And then the scripture says, once they selected them, they set them before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And then the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests also became obedient to the faith. Now, the most encouraging verse of that whole passage is verse 7, when it talks about what happened because this problem was handled correctly. And what I want to do tonight is not at all promise you that if you will handle problems in your family correctly, then it will always turn out exactly like you want it. I don't want to say to you tonight, stand on this platform in front of you and God and everybody else, that if you will do the right things, that God will always do incredible things through your life. No, but here's what I'm saying. There's a right way to handle problems and there's a wrong way to handle problems. And so tonight, if verse 7 is at all appealing to you, in other words, if you're interested in learning to face problems in a way which the name of God would be magnified and which faith would increase throughout your family and your life because you are navigating not only the good times but the bad times biblically and in a way that honors God, I've got some good news for you. The scripture highlights several things that we can do so that we make sure that we're addressing our problems in a biblical way. And so last week, the main point was that real blessings lead to real problems. And I tried last week to point out the fact that these people were having difficulties because God was pouring out a blessing on their life. The disciples were increasing. Everybody would say, that's such great news. And we talked about the problems that we would have at Sagemont Church if our church literally doubled in 1 week. We'd have parking problems. We'd have seating problems. We wouldn't have enough Bible study leaders to lead out in all of the Bible studies. We wouldn't have enough deacons to care for the people. We wouldn't have enough people to visit the hospitals when people were ill. We'd have all kinds of problems. And it stemmed from God pouring out a blessing. Tonight, we're going to take that same sentence and we're going to add to it. And here's what we're going to add. Real blessings lead to real problems that demands real leadership. And so I just put that out for you tonight. You're going to have to decide, in my home, when problems show up, am I going to step up and am I going to lead out in a biblical way? I cannot want this for you. This has to be something that you want. And I hope and I pray, and this whole series, we've been talking about the fact that we want God's people to hunger and to long to do things a biblical way. And so tonight, the good news is that if you will make a commitment today to either continue or start addressing your problems in your home in a biblical way, and you will have biblical leadership in your home, then the good news is that you can navigate these problems. And so what I want to do is for us to look at these three things that we find in Scripture. These are just observations in the Word of God. These are things that the apostles did that leads us to conclude that these are things that we too should have in our life. And the first is that they honored and obeyed the Lord even during their problems. They honored and obeyed the Lord even in their problems. I want you to see that one of the things that they do is that they never deviate from the thing that they know that God has called them to do. They don't move themselves away from the problem, but at the same time, they hold fast to what they know God has called them to do. I find that in the Scripture. In verse 2, it says, the 12 summoned the full number of disciples, and they said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, you may read that, and you may say, so what, are they arrogant people? Do they think they're too good to serve tables? Are they saying that they're above serving tables? No, that's not what they're saying at all. They're not saying that the need is not great. What they're saying is that they're confident that God has called them to this ministry. And whatever the solution might be, they know that the solution is not to move away from what God has called them to do, because God has called them to do that. And so I want you to think in your mind, as this kind of plays out in your life and in your home, and as you face the next problems that you face, I want you to understand that whatever your solution may be in your house, it will not draw you away from the things that God has laid out for your life. What I mean by that is that there will never be a biblical solution in the problems that your family faces that will lead you to contradict what is written in the Word of God. It will not happen. And so just as we look at the Scripture and we see that part of their solution, part of their biblical response to what was happening, was that they were honoring and obeying the Lord even in their problems, leads us to understand that when we face problems in our home, the solution will never be to violate the things that God has already laid out for us. The second thing that they do that I think is incredibly interesting is that they don't ignore the problem. Now, when you read this in the Scripture, and those of you who grew up in church, you've probably studied this over and over and over. And some of you, if you haven't grown up in the church, maybe this is the first time, or if you were here last week, this is the second time that you've studied this passage. And one of the things that just kind of jumps out at me as I read this is that the apostles dealt with the problem. And I don't want to get too much into your home life, and I don't want to start meddling in places that I don't belong. But I want for you to stop and just think for a second about the things that you face in your home. You know, some of them on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not that significant and 10 being incredibly significant. You know, as you just think about these problems and as you kind of grade them and on range from 1 to 10, and you begin to ask yourself, how do I deal with problems in my home? Like when this problem raises its head, or when that problem raises its head, or when that problem raises its head, on a scale of 1 to 10, whatever they may be, what do I do with them? If the answer to that question is, I avoid them like the plague, you're doing it wrong. And I don't say that to hurt your heart. Please understand, I don't want for you to be leaving here tonight frustrated and thinking that, you know, that I said harsh things to you. They may come across harsh, and I don't mean them to. But I want you to understand that there's a biblical pattern of dealing with problems in our home, and we need to notice them. And one of the things that we see in the apostles' life is that they do not ignore the problems that are around them. They meet them head on. They acknowledge that they're there. They don't hide them. They say, look, we have a problem. We didn't see it before. We didn't know it. They're not ashamed that there's a problem. They're not bashful that there's a problem. And I think maybe that's some of the issue that we have. We have this mentality in so many of our Christian godly homes that if there's a problem in my home, that means I'm doing it wrong. If there's an issue that happens in my home that has to be dealt with, it means that I don't love God enough. If there's a problem that raises its head, or if there's something that occurs that shows me that there's an issue that needs to be dealt with, that means somehow my faith is small because a problem exists in my home. Listen, I want you to understand, that is not true. Because when God blesses people, problems occur. And we see that in the scripture. And so as you think about your own home, and you think about the problems that you have faced, maybe today even, or maybe this week or this month, or whatever it may be, I want you to just adopt a new perspective that says, just because a problem enters my home doesn't mean that I lack faith. And it doesn't mean that God is angry at me. And it doesn't mean that I'm doing life wrong. Because when we believe those things, it will be our natural tendency to ignore it and act like it never happened. And you know the illustration of, your house is kind of messy and somebody calls you up or they text you and they say, hey, we're going to stop by in a couple of minutes. And you just kind of go bananas, right? Because you're like, oh my goodness, my house is so clean. And that's not what you say, right? You say it's so dirty. And so you quickly, if you're like our family with young kids, then we have kids like picking up different rooms and we're assigning them. And then we pick up the broom, don't we? And we're like sweeping the floor, but we don't have enough time to get it up off the floor. So do y'all do what we do? Where we just take the welcome mat, kind of roll it over and sweep the dirt. And then we ignore it like it's not there. Like there's not 3 pounds of dirt underneath that welcome mat. And you know, that's what some of us do with our problems that we face. We just act like they're not there. Do you know there's never been a problem that's been solved just by ignoring it? And if you're talking about your marriage relationship, or if you're talking about your relationship with your children, or maybe it's something different. Maybe you're a single person and your relationship with your parents are estranged, or whatever it may be. Listen, ignoring the problem is not going to solve your problem. The apostles knew that. And so the first two things that they did is that they honored and obeyed Christ, even in a season of problems, and they refused to ignore the problem. Now, the third thing that they did, which I think is as important as these other two things, is that they led the people toward solutions. I'm just going to go back to the scripture so that we can look at it together tonight. And look what it says in the passage. It says in verse 3, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. The first thing that they do is they set their sight on solution. Now, what's the alternative to that? When I'm not walking with the Lord, when I'm in a season of frustration, when I'm not the man that God has called me to be, or when I'm not being the husband that God has called me to be, or the father that God has called me to be, and I go into my home and a problem raises up, it arises, and I don't ignore it. But sometimes, what's the first thing that I want to do, or what's the first thing that you want to do? We want to start blaming people. Notice in the passage that the apostles never asked the question, whose fault is this? Now, I'm not saying that at some point in our lives, we don't sit down and say, okay, look, you wronged me in this matter, and then talk through that. And I'm not saying that we don't point out sin. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying that we completely ignore the shortcomings of people. But what I am saying is that when we're asking the question, if I want Christ to be magnified in my home and I want to know a biblical way to navigate problems, what is it? I can promise you this, that one of the major answers is this, that we focus on solutions. And so I want to leave you with those three things tonight, because I think those are important things. And really what they are, they're kind of tools. And in everybody's relationship life, you have a tool belt. You may have a marriage tool belt, or you may have a parent tool belt, or you may have a child tool belt. And what we've done tonight is that we've taken some tools and we've placed them in our tool belt. And I hope that when you leave here, you will make a commitment to use the tools that you have had. I urge you that as you navigate problems in your home, that you will make a commitment to always honor and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, even in a season of problems. Because what we do in a season of problems illuminates what our true faith is. I hope tonight that you will make a commitment that when there are problems in your home, you will not ignore them. I know it's easier. I know it's less awkward sometimes. I know it's less uncomfortable sometimes to sit down with a family member and say, we obviously need to talk about something. But it never heals a relationship to ignore that there's a problem there. And then the third one, leading towards solutions. I hope that the next time that you sit down to have a discussion, a heated discussion. Wade says sometimes heated fellowship. I like the way that he says that. The next time you go to have heated fellowship in your home, would you just make sure that one of the goals that you have when you sit down with your loved one or loved ones is that you want to find a solution, a point of reconciliation. You want to be reconciled to the person that you're having the problems with. I know in 20 minutes we can't say everything that we need to say about how to navigate problems in our home. I realize that. But one of the things that I wanted for us to do was to open the scripture and to open the word and to realize that in the word of God, there are principles, practices, methods, actions that we can adopt for ourselves that will take us light years down the road in learning how to deal with problems in our home. Here's why. I don't want you on the front line wondering what are we going to do, where you continue to try to fire your cannon and you can't because it's jammed. These things that we've looked at tonight, they will keep you from being jammed as you seek to navigate.